So I did grow up in the South. I grew up in Greenville, South Carolina, in fact. And as you may know, that is the buckle of the Bible Belt, one of the most conservative cities in the country. And my mom, in fact, ran a carpet store directly across the street from Bob Jones. And while she wasn't a Bob Joneser, she was given to religion. She was quite religious and sometimes extremely religious, a couple times a year. It would hit her like the flu. And next thing we knew, me, my dad, and my brother would be staring at the Bible 3 hours a night as she explained the intricacies of Revelations or something like that to us. And I didn't respond very well to all of this, and so I went in the opposite direction. Was getting in trouble, kicked out of all sorts of schools. I was the guy in the bathroom smoking dope between all the classes that we just heard about. And my parents kept catching me with girls and all sorts of stuff. So finally, I graduate from high school, and I have no intention of going to college, and they've had enough. They find me with this young woman in my bedroom one morning, and they'd never seen, when it was my girlfriend, it was one thing, but when it was someone they'd never seen before, that was too much, so they kicked me out that evening. Fortunately for me, this woman was educated, but thought college was worthless, and thought I should learn how to write on my own, and she was a stripper. And she thought that I should live with her and her other stripper friend, and so this was an ideal situation. For a little while, until Greenville still got rather confining for us, our lifestyle of waking up at 4 in the afternoon and going to bed at 9 in the morning didn't fit in very well with the local constabulary and that sort of stuff. So we decided to go out on the road, and she didn't drive, so we bought a Volkswagen bus, $1,000 or one of these things that we were going to live in, go from town to town. She was going to strip, and I was going to drive. Again, a great deal for me. And we'd stay in town sometimes as long as 2 months, sometimes just 2 nights, and we'd live in our van the rest of the time. And so eventually we do this for about a year, and eventually we end up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, with the intention of staying only one night. But as we were driving up the mountains, the way they, you know, in South Carolina, these rolling Appalachian hills, but these things were just jutting up and splitting the sky, and the adobe houses, and we were near the university, and it wasn't like Bob Jones University. There were Hare Krishnas and hippies and all sorts of stuff going around there. And so we thought, this is the place for us. And I thought, this is going to be a place where things are really going to change for me. Things are going to take off here. I had no idea how much they were going to change. All of a sudden, I started wanting to study ancient Greek and go to college. And so I started doing that, and then I had access to one of the most dangerous things, the university library, and I got obsessed with this idea that the world was a mystery, which I'd known, but a mystery that had an answer. I thought I could figure it out. So I was reading incessantly, and Buddhism seemed like a pretty good answer because a guy sat under a tree and tried to figure it out. So next thing I know, I'm sitting trying to meditate, not even really knowing what I'm doing for like 8 hours a day. I all of a sudden quit smoking without trying to, quit drinking, no more drugs. And it gets so bad, it's the middle of winter by this point, and I'm laying down on the floor, the hardwood floor, with no blanket, by myself, while my not-unattractive stripper girlfriend is laying on the bed up beside the floor where I'm laying, looking down at me, wondering what in the hell I'm thinking. And she didn't wonder very long. She went to a Grateful Dead show and never came back. And I ended up going to a monastery, a Buddhist monastery, up in the Jemez Mountains of New Mexico, these gorgeous mountains. And it was for a class. And there were going to be professors from all over the world. There was a 90-year-old Zen master, a 70-year-old Zen master who was a philosopher in Kyoto. And there were going to be real monks and nuns there, people who'd given their lives to figuring out this mystery, the same thing I was trying to figure out. And there were other students, too, but I looked down on them. They weren't as serious as I was about this. And I get there, drive up to the mountains. It's beautiful. And there they were, the monks and the nuns walking, wearing these black robes. I wasn't quite so happy at 4 the next morning when I was wearing the same black robes, walking in single file line with everyone else into the zendo, this nice long, big hall with benches along the side, where we proceeded to sit for the next couple hours. And the point with Buddhist meditation is to be bored. at least the Zen Buddhist meditation. I'd met other Buddhists, and they talk about their next life and stuff, but this was very practical. You were supposed to sit there until you'd gone through every kind of thought you could go through, but there's a guy who walks around with a stick and hits you if you start to fall asleep or get distracted. And so that keeps you from acting on these things, and then you realize they're not important, and you don't need to act on them. So it's a pretty good idea, and it was good for the guy with the bell who told us we could get up, because some of the things I was thinking, if he doesn't ring that bell, I'm going to kill this guy. My legs, I'm not flexible, my legs are killing me. The other thing was there's this nice, beautiful nun across the zendo from me, and the kind of old thoughts that I'd had with the stripper that had disappeared for a little while, it started to come back as I was sitting there across from her, and turned out she was obsessed, sort of like me. We became friends. We started talking a lot. But in most of our free time between the classes, we would just sit there. Both go in, only us in the zendo, and just sitting across from one another. And she was a pro at this. She did this for a living. And I'd be crying on it, you know, but because my legs hurt so bad. But I was going to be tough. I was not going to stop until she did. And so the last night, this professor from Kyoto, he comes up to me and her, and he says, "You two, come with me." And he grew up as an orphan. He'd been taken in as an orphan into a Zen monastery. He'd lived there all his life. And he takes us down wearing his robes and stuff to the bar down the road, which is called Los Ojos. And it has a wagon wheel chandelier and cowboy pictures on the bar. And it's mostly Jemez Indians, because we're on the reservation there, who are hanging out there. And we walk in and every one of them says, "Sensei!" to the Zen master. And he'd been there every night, as it turned out. So the waitress comes up, and he lays down. She calls him Sensei, and he lays down a $100 bill on the table, and he tells her, "Keep the tequila coming until this money's gone." And then he turns to us, and he says, "Now we practice tequila yoga." And he tells us, he says, Zazen, sitting meditation, and sake wine, they're the same thing. It's the one you're attached to that's the problem, and you two are attached to the Zazen, sake wine, and he keeps pushing tequila, and showing us all the cowboy paintings, which ones, or how they are like Zen. And the one I remember was a horse jumping off a cliff. He says, "That is Zen," and then he disappears. Or that's how I remember it. Because the next thing I remember, the nun is asking if it would be a sin if she were to take me to bed. And of course, even if I had thought so, I wasn't stupid enough to say so, and I didn't. So we stumble back to her room, which is right beside the abbess of the monastery's room, right beside the 90-year-old Zen master that I'm convinced can read minds, and he can at least hear the headboard against the wall or whatever. I mean, and so we... As the sun comes up and the bell rings, I have to get back to my own room, and I'm sure he's going to be standing there with a stick as I walk out, ready to hit me. As it turned out, he wasn't. I made it back to my room, and I after a little more time with her the next day, I say goodbye to him. I say goodbye to her, and as I went to drive down the mountain, it was done. It was just like my mom. This flu was gone, and I have hardly ever thought about Buddhism again, and I was driving down, and I was comfortable with the idea that life was a mystery that had no answer.